This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A judge ruling that Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency should be allowed access to sensitive data from the Treasury Department. President Trump getting ready to talk about the economy as stocks struggle to rebound from 3 days in solidly negative territory. The Labor Department releasing the new jobs report out today. It shows 151,000 jobs were created last month.
We did lose 10,000 federal workers last month. But, you know, this report doesn't give us a full picture of the unemployment report. The data is collected mid-February, so it doesn't really reflect all of the federal layoffs that we saw under the Trump administration.
ABC's Alexis Christophorus. Daylight saving time kicks off this weekend. A lot of doctors grumbling about it. They say science shows that our bodies never really fully adjust. Sheriff's officials in Santa Fe, New Mexico, are expected to brief reporters today about the death of Gene Hackman and his wife, their bodies discovered last week. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Social Security Administration and its Office of the Inspector General are joining forces to raise public awareness about Social Security imposter scams, Social Security-related scams, where fraudsters mislead victims into sharing personal information or making cash, wire transfer, or gift card payments to fix alleged Social Security number problems, are an ongoing government imposter fraud scheme. Social Security impersonation scams impact all age groups and remain one of the most common government imposter scams reported to the Federal Trade Commission. Social Security continues to make concerted efforts to address this issue through extensive outreach and investigative initiatives. You are urged to stay vigilant in protecting your personal information. Social Security will never tell you that your Social Security number is suspended, contact you to demand an immediate payment, threaten you with arrest, ask for your credit or debit card numbers over the phone, request gift cards, wire transfer, gold, cash, cryptocurrency, or promise a Social Security benefit approval or increase in exchange for information or money. Social Security employees do contact the public by telephone for business purposes. Ordinarily, the agency calls people who have recently applied for a Social Security benefit, are already receiving payments, and require an update to their record, or have requested a phone call from the agency. If there is a problem with a person's Social Security number or record, Social Security will typically mail a letter. Criminals use sophisticated tactics to trick potential victims into disclosing personal and financial information. Be skeptical and on the lookout for these red flags. Typically, they use these P's: pretend, prize, or problem, pressure, and payment. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks host the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks getting ready to host the Orlando Magic tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Bucks have won 4 in a row, 8 of their last 10 games, averaging over 114 points a night. College basketball gets started tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. at Fiserv Forum as Marquette hosts number 6 ranked St. John's. It's senior day for the Golden Eagles for players like Stevie Mitchell, David Coplin, and Cam Jones. The Badgers taking on Penn State at noon tomorrow in Madison. Baseball, the Brewers blank the A's 10-0 in Arizona. Starter Jacob Mizorowski looked sharp in his 3 innings of work. The Brewers ranked 24th this year in payroll. Can they still win the division again?
Of course we can. We have in the past, and we can again. But we got to take care of our house. We can't worry about what they're doing. We got to take care of our house, and we got to play a certain way. We have to be uncommon, you know, and that fits.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Spotty rain this afternoon gives way to sun before sunset. And high temperatures still climbing rather mild to the low 40s. We warm things up even more tomorrow into the mid 40s, so it'll become breezy. And those winds shove us to the mid 50s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Earl Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week, and then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the four main things to help us balance: how I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Brady Ewing will be here, former fullback for Wisconsin football, to talk mental health in athletes and also the relationship with on-air announcers like Bill Rafferty of CBS. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Coming up later on this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m., Maggie Dawn and producer Jamie will host another round of Ask Maggie. It's a great segment. You can text in any question you have for Maggie Dawn, and she's got a wealth of experience.
I have so many questions.
It's fantastic. It's a great segment. Join Maggie for Ask Maggie later on this afternoon. And then the one and only, we call her the genie of just about everything on Civic Media, Terry Barr, is going to join Maggie's show to talk about what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin.
Oh.
So Terry's really got her finger on the pulse on everything in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Very into music, very into entertainment. So join Maggie this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. He joins us every Friday at this time for a little recombobulating, and he's also Civic Media's political editor, coming to us from a secure location somewhere in Wisconsin. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Calvin. How's everybody doing?
We are good. It's Friday. We got a little light snow falling here in Racine, but all is good. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. By the way, we have incredible weather coming up this weekend, so I hope you can get out and enjoy it. But we wanted to start off with talking about the Marquette University Law School poll that came out yesterday. And we talk about this frequently. We live in kind of a different world because we are so involved in the news and so involved in staying up on things. And we kind of look at other people like, what do you mean you don't know that? but there are a lot of people have lives and they have children and they have elderly parents and jobs and all those things. So it shouldn't be a surprise that not everyone is as well informed as they could be, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was one of the main takeaways from a big picture standpoint from the poll. It's just the, you know, it was the first poll of 2025, first poll of the Wisconsin Supreme Court and state superintendent races that are going to be on the April 1st spring election. And as much as we talk about folks like Susan Crawford or Jill Underley, you know, the majority of Wisconsinites do not know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have an opinion of many of them. You know, I think it was a little bit different for Brad Schimmel, being that he was the, you know, former attorney general. Perhaps the fact that he has been running this campaign for 16 months in addition to that as well. But I think it is, you know, just really shows the challenge that these campaigns are facing. You know, for as much as we've talked about them on the airwaves at Civic Media or online at the recombobulation area, you know, there's a lot of people in the state of Wisconsin who just do not have opinions of these candidates. You know, sometimes when you talk about the polling, it will be, oh, you know, they'll ask the question about like the candidates, but then they'll ask like the head to head, and this is the, you know, liberal aligned candidate and this is the conservative aligned candidate, and then people will just kind of fall into their typical partisan boxes.
They extrapolate from there.
Right. But for as far as like on an individual level, like, did it surprise you that the fact that like almost 60% of voters in Wisconsin don't have an opinion of Susan Crawford?
I guess it didn't surprise me. It really didn't. Brad Schimmel has the edge because he has some name recognition.
Yeah. He's held statewide office.
He's had statewide office before. It's like, yep, I know that name. I know he's a Republican. I'll vote for him.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, it was, but still, even though, even given all of that, he was still, I think it was close to 40% of people did not have an opinion of him. So I think, you know, the Marquette poll did not do a head-to-head poll between Crawford and Schimmel. And I don't think we would have really learned anything from it because we have so many people who have not formed an opinion on these candidates, which I think makes, you know, makes this final stretch especially important. I think people are so tuned into what's happening nationally that the, you know, the state level stuff maybe is still, even if we're, even as we're getting, you know, millions and millions of dollars in ads, and this is like blowing past all records in spending for a state court race, like it's still not the same, you know, as any other type of statewide race.
Well, and speaking of money, I saw another article this morning. Elon Musk now has poured like $6 million into this race. Lots and lots of money. Seems to me Elon really, really, really wants Brad Schimmel on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah, and his ads have been, the ads coming from the groups that he's funding have been like, elect Brad Schimmel to you know, allow the Trump agenda to go forward and all of that. And that's kind of been the approach from Elon. And, you know, there was some polling on Elon here in this race, too. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, let's.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I'll let me pull up the Elon polling.
By the way, since we didn't have I forgot to mention this before we went to the news at the top of the hour. Another SpaceX rocket went boom last night. It exploded shortly after it was launched from Texas, and it caused the grounding of flights over most of southern Florida. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. That's the good thing. But yeah, another rapid unscheduled disassembly from SpaceX. And,
another masterful gambit, sir.
Yes.
Masterful gambit, Mr. Musk.
That went so well. But anyway, let's get back
to it. He meant to do that.
That was intentional explosion. Tell us about Elon's numbers.
So Elon polled, his favorability rating was at 41% favorable to 53% unfavorable. So not great for Mr. Elon Musk. And if you look actually at the independent voters on this one, a lot of times independent voters will kind of track with what the rest of it is. Independent voters are very low on Elon. He only had 29 favorable to 58% unfavorable among independent voters. What would you guess his favorability is among Democratic voters?
His favorability?
Yeah. How many Democrats view him favorably?
Four people.
Pretty close. Pretty close. 1%. 1% of
who's
the
that person?
359 person sample. So I think, you know, it would amount to a few people there. But 1% favorable to 97% unfavorable, the view among Democrats for Mr. Elon.
But what about Republicans?
Republicans, it is 81% favorable to 11% unfavorable. One of the real stories, and I think Craig Gilbert of the Journal Sentinel wrote about this in his recap of the poll, the divide is so stark. Like, you see the same in the polling on Trump, in the polling on, you know, a number of other figures in the Democratic Party and all that. The divide, it's just like it used to be kind of in the, you know, Republicans might be like a 70% favorable for Trump or something like that or whatever. It's now just like Republicans have like 100% near favorability for Trump and Democrats are close to zero. Like, the divide is just really, really wide now.
It's not even worth talking about in that race. Like, of course you love Elon. He's your guy's guy. And
Going back to Brad Schimmel, though, and this is from the Wisconsin Examiner from this morning, and I think it's really interesting because Brad Schimmel does seem to be saying one thing on the campaign trail, and then when he's in these more private events, it's an entirely different thing. He is presenting himself to the public as this moderate. He's the he's the rash, you know, the reasonable, I back the blue guy. Well, when he gets off into these more private events, that's not who he is, how he is portraying himself. He was at a Turning Point USA event. Turning Point USA, run by Charlie Kirk.
Case closed.
I mean, he's essentially saying he wants to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to help Donald Trump's agenda. That doesn't seem non-political to me.
Yeah, and he's saying at the same time as while saying his goal is to bring, you know, objectivity.
Oh, yes.
Back to the court.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
And you know, he's made some comments this week about like just kind of going back to some 2020 conspiracy theory stuff that makes him sound like Michael Gableman, former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. It's just like that level of stuff that's going on.
And don't forget as well, Brad Schimmel has come down on the side of the January 6th attackers at the U.S. Capitol, believes they didn't get a fair shot. They didn't get a fair trial. And yeah, now in these private events, and again, we can include this article from the Wisconsin Examiner. Yeah, there was, I'm still not sure about the 2020 election. I'm still not sure about the results. We spent over $2 million worth of taxpayer money to investigate voter fraud in Wisconsin. And you know what they found? Nothing.
And who agrees with that? Robin Voss.
Go figure.
Discombobulating times. There were a couple other under the radar results from the poll that I wanted to talk about. Do we have time before the break to
get into
those?
Absolutely. We got about a minute and a half. Go ahead, and then we'll come back and finish it off.
We'll start with one of them here. You know, they ask about many issues, and this one really got in. There was a lot of education issues, a lot of other, you know, just kind of like issues that we've been talking about on Matinee on air and on across the Civic Media Network. One of them is the extension of Medicaid for new moms.
This is bipartisan support in Wisconsin.
It has overwhelming bipartisan support, and it not only in the people who are introducing this, but now we see in public polling as well. So 67% of Wisconsin registered voters are in favor of extending coverage for Medicaid recipients to a full year for mothers after giving birth. That is a pretty overwhelming number. 67% is a big deal. And I think, you know, that just shows where voters are in this issue. And I think people would really like to see the state legislature move forward with this.
But that's where it goes to die. Mm-hmm. That's where everything goes to die. It doesn't matter how much Wisconsinites agree, even if they overagree overwhelmingly in favor of safer gun laws, say, or access to safe and legal abortions. Vast majority of Wisconsinites agree about these things. Robin Voss doesn't. And that's where it ends.
He's the one holding it up.
And so,
but you know, there was a majority of Republicans that don't always want this, too. This is overwhelmingly favored by Democrats and independents. Republicans very much split on this issue as well.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation Area and also the political editor for Civic Media. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media radio network. We'll be right back.
From the center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time, creator of the Recombobulation Area, and also Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. And we've been kicking around the latest Marquette University Law School poll that came out yesterday. And Dan's gleaned some kind of things, some of the under the radar things that not everybody is necessarily talking about.
Yeah, everybody's going to talk about what happens with Trump. Everybody's going to talk about Elon. Everybody's going to talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. But there are so many issues that this particular one polled, and I wanted to talk about five under the radar ones. So we talked about the postpartum Medicaid expansion right before the break there. Next one I wanted to talk about was childcare, something we talk about that I've talked about a lot, you know, on this show and at the Recombobulation Area and elsewhere. And so the question in this poll was, do you favor or oppose a proposal by Tony Evers to include $500 million in the upcoming budget to make permanent a childcare subsidy that began during the COVID-19 pandemic but is set to expire at the end of June? Complicated question. Yep. But it broke down 54% in favor, 45% opposed. And if you look at the partisan divide on this one, it is really stark. You know, Democrats and independents favor making this subsidy permanent. Republicans, by an overwhelming margin, are opposed to funding childcare in the state.
So what is their answer then? Women should just stay home and take themselves out of the workforce and stay home and take care of their kids?
I don't think they have answers on this. Frankly. I don't think they have answers.
They just don't want issue. They just don't want it.
And this, the child care counts program that this question is alluding to was recognized by the Wisconsin Policy Forum as, you know, an exceptional program. That's a nonpartisan policy analysis shop, and they have recognized that how effective and how important it has been to keeping child care facilities open in Wisconsin and raising wages for the people who are caring for our kids. And so I think those are really important things. But again, this has turned into a very red-blue divide on this one in particular.
You know, this is purely speculation for down the road when Robin Voss is either voted out of office or steps down, how many Republicans, not just Democrats, but Republicans be like, okay, can
thank
we
God
get some
he's
work
gone.
Done? Can we can I take something back to my district, to my people? Because campaigning on childcare, expanding health care, I mean, all these things are great things. People just agree on them. And I feel like the moment Robin Voss makes his way out of those his little power vac, his little power office, people are gonna be like, "All right, let's get
something done."
Exactly,
Dan. It looks like you. I think you're frozen on us. There you are.
Hope I'm not frozen there.
But if you are, let it go.
I was looking up the next one because the next one I wanted to talk about. In this polling is on Act 10, which, of course, has been back in the news with the case striking it down and the, you know, just kind of as it winds through its way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So for this one, the question was on if Act 10 should be. Do you hope that the court upholds Act 10 or strikes down the law as violating the state constitution? Only 42% of Wisconsinites said that they would want to uphold the law. 54%. Saying that they would prefer to strike the law down. It is almost 14 years exactly since that law was passed in the state of Wisconsin in, you know, that tumultuous spring in 2011.
Yeah.
And I think it, you know, it's one of those things you look at how policies age, right? The Affordable Care Act was one of those things that people were very polarized over.
Yes.
In the early going. But as it aged, people's public opinion of it really has been positive over the years. Act 10, I think it's pretty interesting that it is as much of a net negative as it is here, because you see conservatives touting this proposal, you know, touting Act 10s as this, you know, major success in Wisconsin. Well, in large part, Wisconsinites are not feeling it in that way. And I think it is really interesting that, you know, 14 years in, most Wisconsinites are would prefer for it to be struck down. And this is interesting too. How many Republicans do you think sided with the strike down here?
More than we would ever know. I'll bet you, just because they didn't have the guts or couldn't say something,
couldn't step out of the circle,
because they all represent teachers and schools and what I'm hearing in these polling questions is that the Wisconsin that we talk about, that we miss, is alive and well in the people, not in the people mm-hmm. passing the laws. They are upholding the will of the people every single day they are occupying those offices, period.
Well, and I would hope that the Crawford campaign is going to look at some of these results and start tagging Schimmel with this stuff. Because mm-hmm. Schimmel is against everything in this poll that people seem to be for. And for people who have forgotten, Act 10 essentially, and this is a very simplistic explanation of it, but what Act 10 did was strip collective bargaining powers from every union that might not support a Republican.
Yeah.
Right?
And now, here's the thing that I really stood out as interesting to me on this. 34% of Republicans want Act 10 to be struck down. So we were talking before that how there's these huge divides, you know, on Elon Musk, on Donald Trump, and all of these different things. A third of Republicans now want Act 10 to be struck down. I found that fascinating.
Well, and there's hay to be made out of that
mm-hmm.
yeah.
if they utilize it.
And not just in this upcoming election, but in primaries and general elections in the future over the next few years. I mean, this is very telling information, Dan. And it actually makes me feel
a little
good.
Better.
It makes me feel better because it means, oh, Wisconsinites still have the right mindset for what we need to do to move forward, which is our state motto, moving forward. But yeah, unfortunately.
Now all we need are elected representatives who will actually do what their constituents want. I know it's asking a lot.
In Wisconsin, apparently it is.
Apparently
it is asking a lot.
Dan Schaefer, our guest from the Recombobulation Area political editor for Civic Media. Friday, words are hard. News coming up next when we return. Pete Schwabe here from Nightlight. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody? Go!
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Law enforcement authorities across the state will be stepping up their impaired driving enforcement this month. Departments will deploy increased patrols to discourage residents from driving while intoxicated and are warning residents that there will be a zero-tolerance policy for impaired driving in open containers. The increased and highly visible enforcement efforts are meant to encourage residents to plan their ride ahead if they intend to consume alcohol. They're also encouraging other drivers to report any suspected impaired driving. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has enacted Class 2 restrictions for the majority of Wisconsin, including Zone 2 through Zone 5. Class 2 restrictions for far northern Wisconsin will start Monday. Seasonal posted roads restrictions will go into effect statewide Monday. County highways, town roads, city and village streets may also be posted or limited to legal load limits or less. Decisions to place or lift weight restrictions on those roads are up to local units of government. Richland County Highway Commissioner Josh Elder has announced that Richland County will be enforcing weight restrictions on all county roadways beginning Monday. Rehearsals will begin for the Muscadet Community Band this month. Rehearsals will be held Sunday, March 9th, 23rd, and 30th, and April 6th at 1 in the Riverdale High School Band Room. The concert will be held Sunday, April 13th at 1 in the Riverdale High School Gym. Mike Block, a Grammy Award-winning multi-style cello player, composer, singer, and educator, will be the featured artist at the Taliesin House Concert Sunday from 2 to 4. A reception will follow with the artist. Tickets are $95 per person and can be purchased at taliesinpreservation.org/events. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Keanu Reeves says John Wick 5 might not happen. The actor spoke to Extra and said that John Wick 4 didn't leave much room for a John Wick 5, which is an understatement because John Wick died in Chapter 4. Reeves said the role is very physically and mentally demanding, but also said, never say never. Translation, I want a lot of money to do John Wick 5. Ione Sky, who starred opposite John Cusack in 1989's Say Anything, has a new memoir out called Say Everything. In the book, Sky says she and Cusack had sex, but not while filming the movie. Sky says it was years later that they reconnected and wanted to see if on-screen chemistry could be found off-screen, adding it was something she needed to get out of her system. Sky wanted to clarify that the hookup with Cusack happened after she divorced Beastie Boy Adam Horowitz. Sky also said in the book that it was when she was married to Horowitz that she discovered she likes women. That'll pump a guy full of confidence. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Spotty rain this afternoon gives way to sun before sunset. And high temperatures still climbing rather mild to the low 40s. We warm things up even more tomorrow into the mid-40s, so it'll become breezy. And those winds shove us to the mid-50s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table? Mm. And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you hadn't been there, where would I be? Without your trust, love, and belief.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvettini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. As we always do, we try and lighten things up a little bit for the last half hour of the show. We call it Audio Sorbet. Just a little cleansing breath to get away from all of the news. And that's why we have with us Pete Schwabe, the host of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Pete, that song is a new song from Dolly Parton, commemorizing her husband, Carl Dean, who passed away this week. They had been married for 60 years, and we didn't really have a chance to mention it earlier this week. Mm-hmm. But just wanted to get a shout out to Dolly and to her longtime husband, who was always in the background and didn't have a problem with that.
Yep.
Well, that makes sense now, because I thought I was about to ask someone to slow dance. I didn't know what was going on.
All right, Pete, come here. We'll do it. Slow skate. Me and you. Couples jam.
Yeah, that was something else. I kind of forgot she was married. You know, like, you just never heard about the guy, but they were together for like 60 years. And she's like all over the news saying, you know, what a great marriage they had. And you know, she might be doing cartwheels behind the scene. We don't know. 60 years is a long time, but no, it's kind of a pretty song. I like it.
It's great. And I love their origin story is so adorable. She was 18 and she had just moved to Nashville, and she met him outside of a laundromat called the Wishy Washy Laundromat. That's a country song in and of itself.
Yeah, right. Well, and she said in an article I saw that it was her first day in Nashville, too. And she showed up with dirty clothes at 16. I mean, what was going on in her life that made her do that? That's incredible. And then to get to where she got is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, not to get too deep in the history, but she was the breadwinner of her family from a very young age. She was on TV writing songs, being a personality. And she's like, well, I can only do so much in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah.
I got to move on.
But yeah. All big love to Dolly Parton, and so sorry for the loss of your beloved Carl Dean. I have been waiting for this for weeks. This has been my obsession.
She has a board in the back with red yarn and everything. It's a real, real moment here.
So the movie Green and Gold, produced by two Wisconsin guys, right, Pete?
Wisconsin, UP, the Anders, the Linwall brothers. Anders is the director, and his brother also produced the film. So it's a great story.
It is a great story. It's a lovely, very sweet, very hopeful film about a farmer having some hard times in northeastern Wisconsin, and he bets the farm on the Packers winning the Super Bowl. But there is one. I went to see the movie about a month ago by myself, and I came home and my husband said, how was the movie? I just said it was fine, except for this one thing. There is a plot flaw in this movie and I just can't shake it off. You finally went and saw it last weekend, Pete. I want to know, Greg's rubbing his eyes. Are you with me on this?
Pete, before you answer that, feel free to lie. Just feel free to lie your face off.
Well, all right. First of all, a farmer who bets the farm and the Packers winning the Super Bowl. Shrewd business move. I think we can all agree on that. but I was watching the film, Jane, and I was trying to figure out what it was, what plot issue. And you never told me what it was.
Exactly, because I wanted to see if you would spot it.
Right. So here was my biggest issue. And I like the film. And Anders is a great guy. I've had him on the show a couple of times. And I'm amazed at what they've been able to accomplish. My only issue, or the thing I thought that jumped out at first, was the girl, Madison Lawler, who plays the daughter. Mm-hmm. Does it involve her, plot issue?
No, it's about a prop. It is about a physical prop that is used to move along the plot line.
Oh,
we're not bringing you back next week if you don't find it today.
Oh, really, Greg? Yeah, I can sleep in then. Okay.
So nothing jumped out at you?
Well, hold on. I don't know anything about farming, first of all, but someone said to me, the plow.
Not the plow. No, not the plow. All right, I'm just going to spit it out.
Oh, boy, man, this is...
It's the ladder, Pete. The ladder.
Well, I was... Okay. So this sounds like armchair quarterbacking. I was going to say something about that because I wouldn't let my 80-year-old mother climb a ladder with 2 feet of snow on the ground. But they already established, Jane, in the story that she was up on the roof doing things. I mean, they're a farm family. She's obviously got some grit, but...
And that's fine. And I was fine with it. So here's my whole issue. So she's up on the second floor, caulking windows. It's fall. Okay? Later on in the film, now it's winter, and she is going with her girlfriend to get in the car, and there's snow on the ground. And her friend says, "Ooh, you better not leave that ladder there." So she starts climbing up the ladder, which is wrapped in Christmas lights. So they went around the second floor of the house and put Christmas lights around the second floor, didn't move the ladder, wrapped the lights around the ladder, and then continued with the lights around the house. No self-respecting Wisconsinite would do that. Ever.
Well, there you have it, folks. Where's our award, WBA?
You know, here, first of all, I want to say you kind of tainted my whole experience too, Jane, because I finally get to see this movie. I had the director on the show. I've made an independent film. I'm excited to see what this guy did. And all I can think the whole movie is, what would Jane have had a problem with that? What's Jane's issue with that? What happened? And that was kind of me watching the movie. And my only issue was like when the daughter got the singing contract.
Right.
When the Brandon Sklenar character offer her a ton of money and they're about to lose the farm, take the money. She has no connections. She's in Door County. She's performed at two open mics, whatever it was. Like, you take that money and you get credit as a singer. So that was my biggest issue overall. But I'm totally nitpicking. I enjoyed the film. And
no self-respecting Wisconsinite would do that. We would never leave the ladder up and just wrap the Christmas lights around the ladder and then continue around the house. Wouldn't happen.
I guess. Yeah. Okay. I'm kind of with you, but I also my wife has been after me to I could easily hear her saying, you know, that ladder's been out there for 2 weeks. What's the story here? You know,
Dan.
Well, I think if there are ever any movies made in Wisconsin in the future, I think they all need to bring Jane Matinair on as a consultant to make sure that people are acting in a way that self-respecting Wisconsinites will act. I think we should bring back the tax credits to get more films made in Wisconsin, but have a requirement that all of them have to consult with Jane Matinair.
And I'll do it for nothing.
That brings up, I got two things I want to say. One, this isn't like watching a movie and finding a flub, like, oh, he, you know, the car door was open. And when he came back, the car door was closed. This is all based on Jane's belief in the work ethic of Wisconsinites.
We're better than that.
But also, if she's 80, she may have just looked at the ladder and said, I'll get it later. Because for some reason, her friend says, oh, you better not leave that ladder there. And she's like, well, I'm about to go on errands with you, but I'll stop everything. And then she gets up on the ladder.
Yes.
No, you just move the ladder.
She couldn't. It was wrapped with Christmas lights.
But my other point is, and Dan, you bring up a fantastic point that I think needs to be talked about more. I'd love to actually see this in a Marquette Law School poll. Is I just watched the movie Love Hurts with Academy Award winner Ki-Hui Kwan. That movie takes place in Milwaukee. That movie is shot in Manitoba. There are skyline shots of Milwaukee. It looks very, very nice and fine. It's entirely shot in Manitoba. And when Bridget, my wife, said something, I'm like, it's because Wisconsin doesn't have tax credits for movies. People want to make movies in this state, but they don't because they can't afford it. And the state has no vested interest. Come on, it's such a no-brainer to me to have tax credits for people making movies here.
That would make a big difference, Pete, wouldn't it?
I think it would. I mean, we have the nice thing about Wisconsin is there's so many different things you could film here. We've got rural, we've got urban, we've got lakes, rivers, woods. It's easy to bury a body here if you want to shoot like a serial killer movie. No, Wisconsin would be a great state. And
what
I know
an example to use there, Pete.
First thing that came to mind, Dan. I want to go back to the ladder thing for a second, though.
Oh, God.
My issue, hold on, Jane, my issue was, we didn't see it. Like you said, move the ladder. She gets up on the ladder. She might have been wearing heels even. I don't know. Because weren't they going to go to church or something
No, she had boots on.
Okay. So to move the ladder but get up on the ladder, that tells me she's doing a Belushi in Animal House where she's on the ladder and she's going to hop and hop and maybe try to see her husband through the window or something. So that now that you say that, I'm doing a deep dive and it's all coming together.
See, and again, they needed her to slip and fall so she would end up in the hospital. She could have just slipped on ice. They could have left the whole ladder thing alone, right, and it never would have been an issue.
Oh, man.
Stay tuned later this fall. Green and Gold Director's Cut with Jane Matinere.
Pete Schwabba is here from Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, which you can catch from 6 to 8 p.m. across the network. I wanted to touch briefly on something new that I have caught on Netflix, Pete. It's called Running Point.
Yeah.
And it's a new comedy with Kate Hudson. And it's kind of a Ted Lasso for NBA basketball.
I hope it makes more sense than Ted Lasso.
You watch your mouth.
We can go there if you want with Ted Lasso. The show drives me crazy. It makes absolutely no sense. It's cute and funny, and it stops there. There's no plausibility to the story whatsoever.
Send hate mail to Pete Schwabba at PeteSchwabba@civicmedia.us.
Hey, Pete, you want to text me your home address right now, please? Thank you.
No, but
listen, I know I'm on an island here, but your Running Point is a Mindy Kaling show. Very funny. I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's on my list to watch. I think season 2 just dropped, maybe, or is about to drop.
Season 1 just dropped. Yeah, and you can watch the whole thing. I watched the whole thing in like 2 days. And it's a lot of fun. It's funny. It's sweet. I think they are trying to be the NBA version of Ted Lasso. It was with soccer. But I think the one issue that I have with it is it's almost formulaic, like an old sitcom, in that there's a problem at the beginning and that problem is solved by the end of the episode. Everything gets wrapped up really neatly by the time that episode is over.
Well, and I think this is Kate Hudson's first 30-minute or half-hour comedy. Yeah. So, it is more formulaic, but that's Mindy Kaling. Like, I saw The Office when I was reading about it, and some of the clips I've seen, it reminded me of The Office, but I could see the Ted Lasso comparisons as well. Yeah.
And Kate Hudson is very funny in it. She has no problems making fun of herself. She walks into the same clear door over and over and over again. It's hilarious. And
she's
just
never not funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I just give her a lot of credit for being willing to make fun of herself.
I just want to read, we've gotten some texts in. I just want to read this one text. It rules from Brian in Milwaukee. He says, I love you, Jane, but 3 weeks later, the ladder. It is kind of like who shot Bobby? And then Bobby's like there. And you're like, wait, what happened to Bobby? Bobby was just showering for all summer.
Watch Green and Gold. I'm telling you, it's going to jump out at you.
I think she's being paid by Big Green and Gold right now. I think it's all a ploy just to push the movie.
I'm being paid quietly on the side.
Some guerrilla marketing here.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
To talk about this.
I'm just trying not to talk about Ted Lasso right now, and I'm not going to lie, it's tough.
Oh, we're going to have you back. That's going to be a whole throwdown about Ted Lasso. Pete Schwabba, what's coming up on your show tonight?
We've got Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Authority.
He is wonderful.
Mike Clemens, always love having Mike, and it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr coming up with new music. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Pete Schwabba, catch him tonight, 6 to 8 across the network. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, thank you so very, very much. When we return, This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Hot stuff.
That's hot stuff, baby.
That's hot stuff.
Edition. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I wouldn't be here. If you hadn't been there, I wouldn't be here. If you hadn't been there.
News from the center, WRCE.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding the citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded. In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Big, big thanks to Pete Schwabe from Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8 across the network, Monday through Friday. And Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. And by the way, Jane from Madison agrees with, so that's all I need.
Grand.
I'm happy now. Us Janes know.
Yeah.
Us Janes know. We're going to have Pete Schwabe on to have a Ted Lasso throwdown.
I'm sorry that Pete dislikes Joy.
Why does he hate America? No, Pete's great. And check him out tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. Just a reminder, daylight saving time kicks in this weekend.
Boy.
That means tomorrow night before you go to bed, you want to turn your clock ahead 1 hour. Going to lose an hour of sleep, but then you'll all be happy Sunday night.
No, I'm not. I'm just thinking it's funny that you think there's a lot of people like, you know, changing clocks. It's like nowadays they all change themselves.
I have two clocks I had to keep the instructions for so I can change the time. I have it taped to the bottom of the clock. Because I'm still one of those old people. I have a clock radio by the bed.
And you need an instruction manual for
that? To change the time on it. Yes, okay. I do.
All right.
So don't forget tomorrow before you go to bed, clock ahead 1 hour. Daylight saving time is kicking in. It is 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Greg found this one this morning.
Yeah.
From UPI.com, Ben Hooper with the byline. Headline reads... Canadian man eats 25 Carolina Reaper peppers in under 5 minutes.
In other news, Canadian man dies.
Hospitalized. Yes. Wow. This was from earlier this month. Mm-hmm. An iron-stomached speed eater broke a Guinness World Record by eating 25 Carolina Reaper chili peppers in 4 minutes, 36.26 seconds. Canadian Mike Jack, a YouTuber famous for his high tolerance for spicy food, broke the Guinness record for the fastest time to eat these 25 peppers at a restaurant in Ontario. Carolina Reapers have a heat units measurement of 1,641,183. The average jalapeno pepper is about 4,000 to 8,500.
I think
that's crazy.
I think that you skipped over a major piece of information. He did this at a place called Goat Fest.
That's just cherry on a sundae.
I mean, that's what I love about Canada so much is that as Canadian as you can get, I feel like Wisconsinites especially and Minnesotans, we can appreciate how Canadian Canadians can be, because we get as Wisconsinites we can be with the things that we do that are very right within our state. I love it.
The Reaper chilies were considered the hottest chili peppers in the world until last year when the Pepper X was introduced. Jack telling Guinness World Records, "I might make it a little look a little easier than it is, but I'm burning up here. I really feel it. The peppers, they are really, really hurt a lot." Jack does hold multiple Guinness World Record titles, not all of them spice related. Last year, he broke a record by drinking a Capri Sun juice pouch in 21.71 seconds using a paper straw.
The question I have with the Capri Sun, and we're all thinking if you live with a Capri Sun in your life, is does it include the time, does that time include taking the straw off and trying to actually open it up with that stupid little straw they give
that's
you?
That's a good point. This story does not include that detail.
And there's video, too, by the way. The clip I'm going to include in the show notes will have the video of him actually doing it. And
it's
like he says in the thing, he's like,
he's not enjoying this.
Yeah.
But he does it anyway.
Because
YouTube, it's there.
Yeah.
Because it's there. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on Monday, retired Major General Randy Manner is going to join us. Now that we are abandoning Ukraine, we're not abandoning Ukraine. Now, Donald Trump this morning talking about putting tariffs on Russia. We'll see how quickly that changes over the weekend. But Randy Manner will be joining us coming up on Monday after 10:30 news. So I hope you will join us for that. Lots and lots of things going to be going on. Don't forget, after the news today, we have Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our guests and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here. News coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you Monday.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, can the House GOP use their mandate to pass a clean funding bill? And remember when Senator Rick Scott took the fifth 75 times when his company was fined $1.7 billion for Medicare fraud? He has new thoughts. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge has denied a request for an injunction against Elon Musk's Doge team and access to sensitive payment systems at the Treasury Department. ABC's Stephen Portnoy with details.
The judge says the concerns Americans have about their data are, quote, understandable and no doubt widely shared. But she says there's been no proof that the Treasury Department's Doge team's access to it has caused anyone irreparable harm. Judge Colleen Kohler-Catelli writes, plaintiffs have not shown that any improper disclosure of private information outside the federal government has taken place or that any such dissemination is planned in the future.
President Trump hosting a crypto summit today at the White House, talking with digital currency leaders, and he could announce a U.S. strategic cryptocurrency reserve. Texas health officials say measles cases climbing by 39 more cases since Tuesday. There are now 198 measles cases in the state. The majority, health experts say, are people unvaccinated. You're listening to ABC News.